We are all on a boat. Now, in a boat, there are many people. There is first the leader or the guide who tells people how to row. And then there are some people in the boat who are rowing very willingly and a lot of energy moving the boat forward. Then there are others who are rowing unwillingly. Why do I have to row? Why is this person not rowing, that person? He's rowing the boat but complaining constantly. Then there are a few others in this boat who are here just for fun, just to enjoy the breeze and the cool breeze, and they're watching. Okay, others are rowing, but I am having fun. And then there is a fourth group who is creating obstacles in the rowing of the boat. They are interfering with the boat, they are with the mechanism, they are telling people don't row. So this whole earth is a boat that is going towards enlightenment, just as the boat is going towards its target. The goal of everybody on this planet is to go towards enlightenment. There are some people who are the leaders, the rishis, the prophets, the saints, who guide us how to row this boat, how to live our life, take it towards the highest goal. Then there are some people who are actively moving in that direction towards enlightenment. They are putting all their effort, energy. And study groups like these are people who are sincere about their path. They want to grow, they want to evolve, they want to move towards enlightenment. Then there are others who come once in a while. It's okay, you know. They don't really want to put much effort. It's okay, if we get it, fine. If not, it's okay. So they maybe study a little bit or maybe work a little bit, but really not, don't put much effort towards it. Then there is the third group who are here on this earth just to have fun. Khao, piyo, maja karo. Enjoy, eat, drink, and be merry. Let me enjoy life. I'm here for fun. And then there's the fourth group who create obstacles, who not only themselves do not evolve, but create problems for this whole earth, create problems for everybody. And actually become obstacles not only for themselves, but for others. So it is up to us, what group do we want to belong to? Do we want to move actively towards enlightenment, to row the boat, or do we want to do it passively once in a while? Or are we here on this earth just to have fun, eat, drink, and leave? Or are we going to create problems? So that is what the Bhagavad Gita teaches us, that life is meant for evolution, to grow spiritually. Not only grow yourself, but help others also on this path. Because the more people are on this path, the more the earth will get enlightened, more the earth will get uplifted. And so we as spiritual practitioners, it is our duty to actively raise the level of consciousness of this earth. As I raise my level of consciousness, people around me will also be elevated. So this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to elevate our level, our surroundings, and that's why it is our duty not only to study, but to spread this knowledge as much as we can, you know, teach people, bring others on this path. So that is the message that Bhagavan Sri Krishna gives us in this Bhagavad Gita, in this text. Last week we had studied about temporary pleasures. Any worldly pleasures, they are the womb of sorrow. Why? Because they come and go. Anything that comes and I get attached to it, if it is temporary, it's going to go away, going to create sorrow. So we had studied last week, Adyanta Vanta Kaunteya Adi. Any pleasures in this world are temporary. They come and go. And if we get attached to them, it will create sorrow. Anything that I am attached to. Because anything in this world is temporary. And if I get attached to it, sooner or later I have to give it up. So it will create sorrow. Even my body, I get so attached to it, but I'm a tenant here. I'm not a permanent resident. If you are a tenant in a house, you don't get attached to the house. You know that after 3 years or 5 years, when my lease expires, I have to leave. But if I own the house, then I say, no, let me fix it up. Let me, you know, make it better. So similarly, this world is a house where I am a tenant. I may think I own this house, I own this place. No, but sooner or later, I'm going to have to leave it. My family members, I have to leave. Even this body we get so attached to, but I am a tenant. I am leasing this body, and the landlord is sitting up there, and whenever it's time, he says, okay, your lease is expired, leave. And so getting attached to any of the pleasures of this world or any objects, whether it's people, whether it's objects, even this body, treat it like a tenant. Take good care of it. A tenant will take good care of his house so that the house will, you know, will be clean. But 3 years, 5 years, he knows I have to leave. So similarly, be ready. At any time I have to leave this body, I take care of it. But my goal is higher. And so that is why the example of the boat, where my goal is enlightenment for myself and for others. So this is what we had studied last time. Today we are going to learn a new term which Bhagavan Sri Krishna has given us, and that is called Brahma Nirvanam. So the three verses are devoted to this subject of Brahma Nirvanam. We'll talk about what is Nirvana, because that is used in Buddhism a lot, Nirvana. So what does Nirvana mean and why it is relevant to us? So chapter 5, verse number 24. Yontas sukhontara ramaha. Tara ramaha. Tathantar jyotirevayaha. Sayogi brahma nirvanam. Brahma bhuto dhigachati. So together, yontas sukhontara ramaha, tathantar jyotirevayaha, sayogi brahma nirvanam, brahma bhuto dhigachati. So, a person who has controlled his mind and controlled his intellect and is evolving spiritually, is growing on this spiritual path, has given up attachment to the worldly objects. What is the benefit, or what is the advantage, or what does this individual get? You know, they say, what is in it for me? So Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us that what are the joys and the benefits of going on the spiritual path. So yaha means this individual who is progressed spiritually. What does he have? Anta sukha. He has the inner joy. Not the outer joy of objects, but the inner joy. We'll talk about that. Antar aramaha. Aram is rest. So the inner rest or inner peace or inner calmness he gets. Aram, the joy within and the comfort within. Tatha and antar jyoti, and the light within. That is what his experience is. So inner joy, inner rest, and inner light. That is what this person experiences. And this yogi, this individual who has progressed on the spiritual path, what does he experience? Brahma Nirvanam. Brahma is the Brahman, the total consciousness, the substratum. Nirvanam is moksha, liberation. And we'll talk a bit about what this meaning of Nirvanam is. He experiences that, the joy, the liberation of becoming one with Brahman, becoming one with the totality. Adhigachati, he attains. So he attains what? Peace, inner joy, inner rest, inner light of wisdom, and total liberation from all the sorrows, and becomes one with that total reality. So the word yogi comes many times in the Bhagavad Gita, and each time it could mean different. So that's why in Sanskrit the same word may have different meanings based on the context. Like in the third chapter, Karma Yoga, Karma Yogi is the person who works unselfishly for others. In the fifth chapter, the word yogi, he talks about Brahmanirvana. This yogi is the yogi of knowledge, one who has the right knowledge and his mind is attached to the higher yogi, to the higher knowledge, is called yogi. So this is Jnana Yogi, one who has the wisdom. And then in the sixth chapter, which will be starting soon, it is Dhyana Yogi, the meditator. So that's why these scriptures need to be studied with the guidance of a guru instead of trying to study on our own. And that is why reading commentaries by the gurus helps. So this yogi is the one who experiences happiness. Now, we already studied last week that the body experiences joy in objects, the mind in emotions, the intellect in thoughts, and these are all temporary, right? Objects. So none of these the yogi experiences. He says, no, he does not look for happiness in objects, emotions, and thought. Then where can he get happiness from? See, because we all, for us, only happiness is if I see something good, or taste something good, or I feel a good emotion, somebody loves me, or if I get some good ideas, or if I study on the internet. So for us, the only source of happiness is what my senses and my mind and intellect. But for the yogi, none of those. So then we say, then how can he experience any joy at all? He doesn't see anything, hear anything, feel anything, think anything. No, but his joy comes from within. And I think a few weeks back we had talked about that the joy that we experience in the world, even the highest joy, the joy experienced by this yogi is a million or billion times. I think we had talked about a few weeks back how great is the joy of this enlightened master. So not only the enlightened master, but even people like us, sadhakas. See, one is siddha, who are the enlightened masters. But sadhakas like you and me, who are on this path, once you start enjoying, rasa ajata isme, once you see the joy, and that joy, then nothing in the world can compare. So that should be the goal, that go inward, because inward there is a great well of joy that is experienced by these great Mahatmas. So even those of us who are on this path can experience the same joy, but not to the great extent as the realized masters, you know, Buddha and Jesus and Swami Chinmayananda and Shankaracharya and Mirabai and all those, Prananji. But even on the path, we will experience a great joy. So there is a great joy within. All you have to do is go inward. And what is the rest? Because what disturbs us? What disturbs us is either physical disturbances. My health is not good. Mentally, somebody does not love me. Somebody insults me. So all these, the world will give us disturbances. Yes, will give us joys also. But any joy is on the other side is sorrow mixed with it. So the disturbances, but this individual who has gone within, Arama, he has total rest, because then he has found that the place to rest, found the place of peace within. And Antar Jyoti. Jyoti means light. So people think, you know, does he see a light? And then some people in meditation say, you know, I was sitting in deep meditation and then I saw blue light. And the blue light came and then it went away. And now I am enlightened. See, anything that comes and goes cannot be enlightenment. Yes, it is good. If you are getting these experiences, it's okay. You may, you know, some people in meditation hear bells, and I have not heard any bells, or I have not seen any lights, so maybe I still need to progress. But the point is that if you do have some experiences, do not get attached. Do not expect to repeat them. If they come, they come. If they don't, they come. Ultimately, the understanding in meditation is the joy is within, and I am that Atman, Brahman. That is the goal of meditation. So when they say Jyoti, it means Prakash, the inner light of wisdom, jnana prakash. That's why they say, na, the light of knowledge. So when they talk about light, it is the light of knowledge, of knowing who I really am and what is my goal, what is my purpose. I am that self, that consciousness. And why should we not look for joy outside? Because if it was there, people would have found it. Right? For billions of years, we have all the human beings and the animals and birds and all have been looking for joy outside, looking in various things, in science, in art, in music, in food, you know, newer and newer foods, newer and newer inventions. They keep thinking that the next invention will give me joy, the next book I read, the next food I eat, the next country I travel. So if there was joy outside, somebody would have found it. But the point is, yes, there is a temporary joy. We are not saying that. But the permanent happiness is not there. That's why people are still searching. And what happens to us, we look for joy outside, but we don't find it. We say, I didn't find it in this, in the next one, in the next one. And unless we look for joy within, your search is never going to end, because ultimately everything. So that's why he says, antar sukha, antar aramaha, antar jyoti, the light of knowledge. Even though we have, may not have experienced it yet, but it is very important to have belief, Shraddha. If the Lord himself has said it in the Gita, if it has been said in the Bible, if it has been said in the Buddhist scriptures, in the Bani, then there are some great scholars, some great prophets who have given me this knowledge, so I have faith in them. Faith and total belief that this knowledge is valid, it is correct, and sooner or later, if I follow the path, so this path already has been laid out for us by the masters, the prophets, all my job is it, and it, they have made it so easy in the books. They have completely described the path. So all I have to do is have belief, follow, and then what will happen is my restlessness will go away. Because we are restless because I'm still looking for something, looking. But once your goal is clear, then you just mechanically, it's like nowadays, of course, we have GPS. In the olden days, when you didn't have the know the road, you had to look at the map, and then you are husband and wife are fighting because the wife gave the wrong directions and he took the wrong exit. But once he knows, okay, now I have to take this path, then there is no conflict. So that is the idea. And what we do is we look for joy in vastu, vyakti and paristhiti. These are the three things. Vastu means objects. And we already talked about objects are temporary. Then vyakti is people. You know, we think that this person will give me joy. We don't even know our own mind. We can't control it. How can we control the mind of another individual? That this other individual will always be nice to me, will always be kind to me, will always be loving. So do not expect people to give you joy. And paristhiti is circumstances and situations. And they also change. People change. Objects change and situations change. Now there is good weather, then we'll have the heat of summer, and then there will be winter. Now there is, you know, Republicans are happy because there is a Republican president. Before that, Democrats were happy because there was a president's change. Stock market, one day is up, one day is down. So situations all the time change. Job, one day is good, one day is bad. So do not expect that either people or objects or situations will give me happiness. And what we are looking for is happiness that will never leave. That will never leave. We are looking for permanent happiness. So permanent happiness can only be found within. And so today we'll talk about the word nirvana. Now this word was popularized by Buddha, but it originally appears in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Upanishads. So we'll spend some time talking about it. Vanaha means fire. Nirvanaha means no fire. So what is the fire? The fire is the fire of desire. That's why Buddha said tanha, this fire of desire. So it is desire that is like a fire that we have to keep on feeding. When they say nirvana means there is no fire of desire. There is this person no longer is desiring anything else because he has found joy within. That's one meaning of nirvana. Vana also means smell. So if we look at our body, it smells, right? No matter how much cologne you put, perfume you put, take a bath, go to sleep at night, and you wake up in the morning, and the body smells, because every part of the body has dirt in it. You know, whatever we excrete from anywhere is dirt. So a person who is attached to the body is said to be attached to vana, to the smell. So nirvana means I'm no longer attached to this body, because I know that this body sooner or later is going to give me sorrow. So not being attached to the body but attached to the Lord within is called nirvana, and Brahma is the total consciousness. How can I get attached to the total consciousness while living in this body? See, people say after death, you know, you will experience heaven, you will go to heaven, you will experience the joy. But the masters tell us, which we will talk in the next verse, that this joy can be experienced here itself. So the example they give is the pot space. Like there is a pot and there is a space in it. Now the pot space, they say if you break the pot, then the pot space becomes one with the total space. That's true, right? But suppose the part space, while in the part, says, I am part of the total space. I just happen to be conditioned by the part, but actually I am that total space. So whether the part is there or not, I am that total space. So then the part does not need to break. The space can say, I am that total space. So similarly, you and I are conditioned in this body, and we think, I am in this body. But all of us are that Om, that consciousness. Once we understand that, then there is only one Om, one consciousness. Then I no longer am conditioned by this body. In fact, I am not in this body. The body is in me, because I am the total consciousness and this body is in me. I just temporarily happen to be conditioned, like that space is temporarily conditioned by this part. So that is the knowledge of this nirvana, this understanding that I am that Brahman, Brahma Nirvanam. That's why Bhagavan uses the word Brahma Nirvanam, because this person understands my oneness with the totality, and then this whole universe is in me, me in that consciousness, not me as this individual. So this word Brahma Nirvanam, the teacher feels that it needs more explanation, so he has given three verses to explain what is this meaning of nirvana. Nirvana means no flame, no fire or desire.